Well, good afternoon. It is Friday, October 14th.
We made it through another week.
And what a great week with Girl Talk and Men's Fellowship. Discovering Victory is a brand new podcast. What we want to do each Friday is to share with you messages, clips of messages from our summer conference season. And week one, we had an amazing time with our good friend, Pastor Robert Rodriguez and Pastor Sam Sutter.
They used to work here.
They both used to work here in Somerset. They're still working here. Pastor Rob's on the board. Pastor Sam and Robert both served on summer staff, and we just appreciate their ministry. They did a series for us on the book of Ephesians. And so now we're going to watch part two of Pastor Robert Rodriguez's message. Let's give a listen.
Verse 13, in him. Okay, so here's another thing. He's done something. He's not only forgiven us, he's not only saved us, he's not only this part of this sealing. In verse 13, in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth. Now let's bring it back again. Remember, because God loves us so much, we have what? Spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, right? Okay, so now, because God loves us so much, we also have spiritual blessings in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. So that's what verse 13 starts talking about. So in him, in this relationship, this identity that we have in Jesus Christ, we were also, the Bible says, sealed, okay? Sealed with the promise Holy Spirit when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believe. So as God has been orchestrating all of this, as God has been moving throughout history and throughout time and space to bring you to the place that not only would he make your soul alive to hear what the word of God has to say, but then to also save you and call you to himself and for you to receive Christ. All this was his plan. He says not only did he plan and orchestrate all of this, he also seals the deal with the Holy Spirit, that you have now been basically spiritually saran wrapped. That like you literally have the Holy Spirit, that not only is this, he talks about it being a down payment, but it also is this protective seal that keeps your soul, this new creature, not only saves you, but continues to keep you saved. Here's a question. What kind of sin would it take to take you out of the hands of the Savior, out of the hands out of the Father, and out of the seal of the Holy Spirit? You see, for us sometimes, to me, it's a cop-out to think you don't have eternal security, because then we just get saved over and over again like it wasn't our fault, right? Oh, I just got saved again. I got baptized. I can get that photo. You know, no. Some of us have to realize that we've been saved to the day of redemption. We're just wicked, rotten sinners that need to return home to the Father. You don't need the party. You don't need the celebration. You need to repent and come back to the Father who saved you and keeps you saved. Because a lot of us are not living our life the way that we're supposed to live. And we say, well, maybe it's not because we didn't know Jesus. No, you know Jesus. He's convicting you to come back to him, because he sealed you to the day of redemption. That conviction, that groaning when you're not living for God is a very proper evidence that you know Jesus. And he's calling you back to himself. He's calling you back. And so you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus promised that the Spirit would come. He told his disciples and the apostles that the Spirit would come, right? A comforter would come. And so he's promised. This was planned. And what happens is that when we heard, remember, he now makes our soul alive, so that whenever we hear the word of God, now that our soul has been made alive, it hits us differently. We hear the word of the truth, the gospel, what Jesus Christ did for us. We hear this word of salvation. And then what happened? We believed, right? And so when we believe, not only did we hear it, we believed it, we now are sealed for him to keep that relationship solid. It's not up to you to keep your salvation solid. Jesus already paid the price. So what is this Holy Spirit? Verse 14 calls him a down payment for our inheritance. Remember, we have this inheritance. We now have this eternal life, all the spiritual blessings that we have in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Everything that we have, everything that we're going to get in heaven, access to the Father we have now, all that stuff. He said the Holy Spirit is what allows that to happen, because once we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and that's what keeps us in communication with the Father. And I don't know about you, there's been times in my life where I don't know what to pray, and I'm completely just like blind, and I just start groaning. The Spirit at that moment tells the Father what I need. Yeah, Rob asked for a new car. No, Rob needs patience. You know what I mean? Like that's what he does. He keeps that relationship going until what? The redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is there not only to seal us and to keep us saved, it is the down payment because one day Jesus is coming back. And how do we have this hope? Because of the Spirit of God. So the blessings of the Son, the blessings of the Son gives us the redemption. It gives us this understanding that we now know the mystery of his will. The blessing of the Spirit allows us then to understand that we are not only saved, but that we continue to be sealed, and that the Holy Spirit is what connects us to the Father till Jesus comes back. Okay? So now, to close out the chapter, Paul talks about a prayer that he has because of everything that we just heard. Okay? So because of what God has done for us, right? This is what he says in verse 15. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. So this terminology Paul uses in several letters that he writes. He writes it to the Romans. He writes to the church of Ephesus. He mentions it in the letter to the church of in Philippi, Philippians. It's this idea that Paul praises God for these Christians in these towns in the first century. And it says the reason why he prays for them, the reason why the Spirit tells him to pray, is because he hears about something that they're doing. And the way that he describes it in this letter is that when he hears about their faith in the Lord, okay, that and their love for all the saints, what he's saying is he knows that God has saved them and he knows that they continue to remain in him because of what they do. The evidence that you have been sealed, the evidence that you have Jesus, is a transformed life. There needs to be fruit to show that you are in Christ. And some of us have been faking it for years. And some of us are great church members, but we still don't know Jesus. And Jesus has been tugging at our heart for years. You really don't know me. And thank God he's tugging at your heart. That means he's trying, he's calling you. You haven't answered yet. And some of us, he's calling you back to himself because you continue to live a life outside of the bounds of the Word of God. And this conviction comes over and he says, this is how we know that you are serving. This is how we know that you're living up to the praise of his glory, is that people know about your faith. So he's not even there and he knows that they're faithful. He's not even there and he knows about their Christian walk because it just went everywhere and everyone told him about it. Paul's in prison and hears about this faith of this local church. And then he says, it's not just I heard about your faith, I also heard about the way you love one another. And the two biggest evidences for us to know that we're in Christ, to know that we're in the center of God's will, is our faithfulness to Jesus and our love for one another as believers. So if you have trouble living your life inside the bounds of the Word of God and you hate everybody you go to church with, whoo, something's up. It's not your personality. It's not that you need to find yourself. You need to find Jesus. It's not everybody else in the room. It's you. If you don't love believers and you can't live in the boundaries of the Word of God, there's something between you and your Savior. Because he says the reason, what motivates him to pray is the way that they're living their life. And the way that he prays, he has a praise of thanksgiving. Look at verse 16. I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Why? Because of their faith in the Lord and their love for the saints. So here's his prayer. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice what Paul isn't praying for. And think of the context. A first century church who has had persecution from people inside of the church who had false teaching and wanted people to go back to the way they used to live religiously and just add Jesus to that. Persecution from the outside, Roman government, people who just didn't like that these Christians were getting a name for themselves, and just Satan was attacked, all these different things, right? This is what he prays. He doesn't even pray really for protection. He doesn't pray that all the suffering would stop. He prays that they would find the wisdom that comes from knowing the Spirit of God. And that knowing the Spirit of God. So remember, the Holy Spirit has already indwelt us, right? So now he's praying that with that, the Spirit of God, God the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity who indwells us, that we would communicate with the Spirit like the Spirit communicates with the Father in order for us to have wisdom, in order to have the revelation of knowing him. Because the only way for us to truly have our identity settled in Jesus and to understand why God did what he did for us is for us to know more about Jesus. If you're not in the Word can't change you. If the only scripture you get is on Sunday morning, whether you go to church or log on, you're doing it wrong. If you're not getting that daily bread, that daily walk, you don't know Jesus like you should. And the only way for you to understand, to fully grasp what God's purpose was in restoring us to himself through Jesus Christ and sealed with the Spirit, is having a more intimate relationship with God. And the only way we have an intimate relationship with God is through reading the Word and speaking to God through prayer. Because remember, those of us who went to Sunday school when we were little kids know, how does it work? We talk to God through prayer. He talks to us, not through visions, not through signs, but through the Word. We don't feel our relationship with God. We know our Savior. Because your feelings will deceive you. Amen? You need to live your life based on the principles and what the Word of God says, and let the Spirit ignite the Word when you get into it, because you have the Spirit of God. Here's what he says, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart, think about the metaphor there, the eyes of your heart, this idea that the center of who you are emotionally, right, has eyes to recognize what you should really care about. Okay? He says, he prays that the eyes of our heart may be what? Enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And we'll get to verse 19 in a second. So he says this, he prays that the seat of who they really are will see to the point of what? He's really praying for enlightenment. He prays that the lights would turn on, right? That they would be able to see deeper, that it wouldn't just be like this little candlelight, but like this big floodlight would come on into our life to understand, what does it mean? What is this hope of his calling? What does it mean to truly be in Jesus Christ? Because if we know what it really means, to deeply really know what it means to have Jesus as our all-sufficient Savior, that there is this wealth that we have, there's this glorious inheritance that's right there, but we don't even see it because we're blinded by all of the junk in our life that's causing us not to bring glory to him. So the biggest prayer for us this week is to be enlightened by the Spirit of God, by realizing that we need to know more about Jesus. In verse 19 says, when this happens, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. So think about, imagine your life like this, that not only do you have a vibrant walk with your Savior, every day, like First Peter, like Peter talks about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ daily, right? That's happening in your life. And all of a sudden, the floodlights come on that you begin to understand what God's purpose for you is in life. Like, what is God doing in your life since He saved you? And then looking at the bigger picture to see things like, man, my mom and dad went through this. And if they didn't go through this, we wouldn't have moved here. And if we didn't move here, we never would have went to that church that was a storefront. We never would have heard the gospel if all of that didn't happen. God loves us that much. I went through some serious junk in my life, things that I did, things other people did to me, but if that never happened, I would never be where I'm supposed to be right now. And that enlightenment then causes you not only to recognize how much you have in Christ Jesus, it also lets you recognize how much power you have because Jesus is your Savior. That how much power it is in this relationship with God, that you not only can pray for yourself, that you can pray for other people, that you can proclaim His word with authority because you know what God has done for you. Imagine a life like that. Imagine a life like that where all of a sudden you're being transformed and others' lives are being transformed because of what God has done in your life. And all of the things that He does in your life, this power, you can't even measure it. That you look back and you see, man, not only did God do this, this, and this, who knows what else God has done exponentially because we finally decided to do what? Simply surrender to Jesus. Verse 20, He exercised this power in Christ, okay, by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at the right hand in the heavens. So the power that made your soul alive when it was dead is the same power that called you to salvation. It's the same power that continues to keep you saved. And it's the same power that causes the floodlights to go on in your life to understand what God's will in your life. And it's also the power that's unmeasurable. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that we have access to be surrendered to Jesus. So we're not talking about just some little Duracell battery. We're talking about the very power that raised Jesus Christ is the power we have in the Spirit of God. God didn't give us some cheap bootleg salvation, right? Our salvation ain't ghetto, right? Our salvation ain't fake. Our salvation is genuine. Our salvation is powerful. Our testimonies are powerful. What God has done in your life is powerful. It's miraculous. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that you being saved was a powerful miracle. Powerful. This power raised Christ to sit at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that the power that we have, the power that Jesus has, is far above every ruler, every authority, every power, every dominion, every title given, not only in this age, but the one to come. The power that Jesus has, the power that has been given to us, is bigger. It's not only powerful, it's bigger than any other power out there. So don't tell me that there's a power of sin that causes you to continue to stumble. Don't tell me that there's a power that causes you to stay in habitual sin. Don't tell me that there's a power of circumstances is what causes you not to be surrendered. The power you have in Jesus is bigger than any power you think is over you right now. The power of addiction has nothing to the power of Jesus. The power of apathy has nothing to the power of Jesus. Do you have access to this power? Do you recognize you have it because of the Holy Spirit? Verse 22, and He subjected everything under His feet. Because of this power, He has authority and appointed Him as head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. So now, before you get too big of a head, okay? Like, the power that you have comes from Jesus, keep that the focus, okay? Because some of us, we like to think that power is ours. We want to start like, I want to heal you. You heal nobody. Jesus does, okay? Anybody that goes on saying they heal people, that's baloney. The only person I know that heals anybody is Jesus, okay? And so when you go on, I got this power doesn't make you better than anybody else. Being chosen doesn't make you better than anybody else. Being God moving through history to save you should keep you on your knees. You should be on your face before Jesus because of his power. And just in case you don't understand, his power is his. He's over everything. You ain't over nothing. Jesus is the most powerful. And the only way that we really have access to understand who Jesus really is to understand who we really are not. When we look to him, everything else is where it's supposed to be. We have to get that right. And the problem is, especially in 2022, man, our identity is in everything else but Jesus. Some of us are confused about what our identity is. And the thing is, a lot of us believers who've been saved for a long time, people are confused about who they are and what they feel and who they like. And we ridicule them instead of realizing we have the power to tell them who they can have their identity in. And we're not reaching people. We're scared of them. We don't understand. Not realizing that we have the power to tell them it doesn't matter what they think or what they feel. They can have their identity and who it's supposed to be in him. The only way that you and I grow and the only way that we can tell other people about Jesus is to realize their identity has to be square and solely in him, because he's the one that saved us. He's the one that keeps us saved. He's the one that gives us the power. He's the one that gives us forgiveness. Everything that was done for his glory and our good. And that, my friends, is Ephesians chapter 1. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. I want to just take a time and just, I want you to think about a few things. I want you to talk to God about what he's talked to you about, especially as we come into this week together. What does it mean? What does it mean for you to have your hope and identity squarely and solely in Jesus? That you're not counting on your identity being in religion, your identity being in the local church you go to, your identity being in your job or your career, your identity being in anything besides Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're like, Rob, I don't even know if I actually know Jesus truly as my Lord and Savior. You're talking about a life of faith and you're talking about loving other saints. I don't even know if Jesus loves me. I don't even know if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And man, you're talking about this power and you're talking about all these different things that God chose me. Man, something hit me tonight that I'm not even sure whether I truly recognize what God has done in my life. I don't know if I know Jesus and I'm struggling with it, Rob. Something's tugging at my heart. Rob, please pray for me. Would you raise your hand and just say, Rob, please pray for me. I don't know. I'm not, thank you. Thank you. I don't know. I want you to do this. If you raised your hand, I want you to see me. I want you to see Pastor Sam. I want you to see Bill. I want you to, if you're at the colony, I want you to talk to your counselor. I want you to tell somebody about this decision that you made. If you're here and you say, Rob, I know Jesus, but man, I have not really truly surrendered to the point that I understand that everything of my life should be my identity in him. I'm really just convicted of that, that I was saved for his glory and my good, and I don't live that way. And Rob, I'm convicted. Can you please pray for me? I'm talking to God right now. Would you raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Father, thank you for this time that we have. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for choosing us and saving us and sealing us. God, Lord, I pray that you would just give us a phenomenal week just learning about you. God, I pray that for the rest of the time that we have together tonight that you would be honored and glorified. I pray you be with Pastor Sam as he gets ready for tomorrow to open up the book. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I pray you help us really to come together knowing who you are through the book of Ephesians. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Okay, James, so let's talk about what's coming up.
Okay, so today is Friday, The 14th,
not 14th, Friday, the 13th.
Yep, thankfully for that.
Yeah.
So we've had a busy week. We've already had a busy month, and that's the way we like it. I actually like to use the word active.
It is very active.
But what we have coming up is Beyond.
Okay.
Next Thursday. So this will be our first Beyond. We had first Girl Talk. We had the first Men's Fellowship Night. This will be the premiere of this season.
Okay,
Beyond.
So for our listeners that may have never watched before, yes. What is Beyond?
So it's called Beyond Youth Night, and that's what we call Beyond. So this is where we invite local youth groups, really any youth group, to come and join in an evening of fellowship, worship, listening to a message, and then enjoying activities together. This is all about the youth.
Okay, and so what does it cost? So it's not of like... If I'm a teen, I can just show up.
You don't just show up yourself. You'll come with your youth group. So there needs to be a guardian.
Okay, so if I am a part of a youth group and there's 10 kids in my youth group, what's the cost?
It's $10.
Per person?
That's still correct, right?
Right, per person?
$10 per youth group.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. If I got 100 in my youth group.
If you have 100 people in your youth group, 100 students in your youth group, $10.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you want to check it out. It's always a neat time of fellowship.
It really is.
The pool and the activity center are all open. The snack shop's open. Apparently the food's pretty amazing at the snack shop.
I really enjoy
it. So you can check out Beyond. What's after that?
So after Beyond, so that's going to be Thursday the 20th. And then starting on the 21st, so that's going to be a week from today.
Okay.
It's a week from today. Right. It's Girls Weekend away.
Okay, well, there's good news and bad news.
Go ahead.
Which would you like first?
I think I might know some of it, but go ahead.
So we have Girls Weekend away, and Sandy Epstein is going to be leading the messages, sharing the messages from the Word of God. She's going to be talking about brokenness, which is going to be a really cool series.
She's got a lot to share.
Sue and Jeff Duffield are going to be leading worship for that event. That's the good news. The bad news is we're sold out.
Yeah.
So if you missed it, you need to register for next year.
You could do a wait list, right? Sometimes.
You could do a wait list. But we're expecting over 300 ladies, and that's the max that we can serve. Yeah. So get yourself on the waiting list. Again, call 1-800-453-7942. Okay, then let's talk about the second annual Family Fun Day.
Second annual Family Fall Family Fun Day, which I like to call FD.
Yeah, you would.
This is October
30th. You need help.
All that I can get. Please. Yeah. This is October 30th, 2 to 6 p.m. We're inviting families here, families of all kinds, friends, just whoever wants to come and enjoy an afternoon together. We're going to have hayrides going on. We're going to have the pool, the whole pool activity center open. We'll have the snack shop open. We're going to be doing face painting. The programming team is going to be coming up with a few special activities. Capture the flag. Laser tag, I think. We'll confirm that. But if you want to look on our website, please visit www.americaskeswick.org for further details.
Okay, what's the cost for the Family Fun Day?
Now you put me on the spot. You know what? I do know what it is. It's $10 per person. And then if you have a group of over four people, the max you can pay is $40.
That's amazing.
How cool is that?
That's
so it's really $10 per person, and then four or more is $40.
So check it out. Lots of people think that during the rest of the year after summer, we sit around doing nothing. There is lots of
good
stuff
one.
Happening. You want to get a copy of our fall events piece, which has all the information of the events taking place between now and the end of the year, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So check it out, 1-800-453-7942. Or you can visit our website, www.americaskeswick.org. Have a great weekend. Join us 1:30 on Monday for Worship Live. God bless you.